Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Okay.
We are
proud of
going.
Us. It's really a thrilling thing at a long distance now, that press of the button.
Yeah, it's like my whole world teeters on the press of a button.
Dramatic. So, shall I say poetic, just in time for this episode.
Ick, it says.
Which is kind of how I feel about parts of it.
I was scrolling. This is me scrolling.
Good motions.
I'm scrolling with my fingers. I was scrolling through like season 6 and I was like, holy shit. The post-it note episode was like a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
Like so much has
like
happened.
Less than a season.
So much happens in this episode. So much happens.
Truly,
in this episode.
It is it from like minute one. This episode takes the fuck off. It's kind of nuts.
They just are like, they're like a snowball. They're like, how fast can we careen down this mountain
the
before we end?
The end is in sight.
As they say, the end is Bill.
The science guy. How are you?
Oh, wow. I wasn't even thinking about Bill Nye, the science guy. I was thinking about Bill Nye, the actor.
Oh, wow. It works both ways. I think that says really specific things about both of us, and I appreciate it.
What did you ask me how I am? I am tired.
Yeah, tell me. Why?
Ain't nothing but a heartache. No, just kidding. I'm just like in teacher training again, and I'm also teaching. I think I'm teaching 10 classes this week, which like feels... So I'm just like in a hot room a lot, and I just think I'm dehydrated, and I'm starting to do other things, and I'm being social. I went on a date this week.
Oh, yes. I totally forgot that happened and to ask you about it, but I am proud you went.
Did I tell you about
it? No, you told me you were going, and then I forgot to follow up when we were making plans.
Yeah,
for,
you're a bad
I know.
Friend.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
How was? Can you give us on... Wow, that was some laughter.
It was... Oh, yeah. There's some weird... I don't know what is outside of my window. The other night, I got woken up at 1 a.m. by, like, people fighting. And I was like, I left New York.
Did that even happen to you in New York? I feel like your street was pretty tame. Aside from the enormous fire that happened.
That I didn't know happened until
slept
the
through.
Next day.
Yeah.
Slept through a big fire. Which is like, bye, everybody.
Like, yikes.
She'll die.
Yikes.
No. It was like around the corner. What was it? Well, my day was good. I had a good conversation. He inquired about a second date, and I'm like, the date was good enough that I'm like, maybe a second date will be clarifying. And I'm trying to meet new people.
Yeah.
So at the very least, like maybe I made a new friend.
I'm so proud.
That's sort of how I feel about
it. Good for you.
And we'll talk in more detail after.
I will pump you for details.
But I'm trying to be better about what I say on the podcast because you never know who's going to listen.
You, turns out, truly never know who's going to listen.
Because it's also like I realize that it's like a cool thing about me, that it's like a talking point, and I'm just like, maybe I should. Uh-huh. Maybe if they're like, oh, let me check
this out.
5.5
seasons later.
I like can't even smile. Do you see how tired
I do see how tired you are in your eyes. Oh boy. Are you gonna be able to nap before your thing tonight?
No, I would fall asleep.
Yeah,
no, and I want to go. How are you?
I'm good. generally. Also tired, but not but not nearly so much. And oh, for good reason today too. I went to an opening night party for a show for the company that a friend of ours works for with him, which was really fun. I hadn't done that before, and it was like a much smaller scale than the ones you've gone to for sure. But the show was wild. I'll leave it at that. I was conversing with Kyle about it today, and the party was really fun. And the best part of it was that I got to meet Beanie Feldston, who is a friend of Brooke's, but also who named this podcast. So
named this podcast. So Beanie, if you're out there,
which you are somewhere.
I mean, you are out there.
Object permanence, Brooke. Come on.
No. If I don't see you in my face, you are a non-existent being.
That's right.
That's how that works, right?
Hundo P, baby.
Oh, my God. I have so much to tell
I can't wait. I cannot wait. Should
God,
we jump
it is
into
hard.
This episode quick then? I mean, we have something to do first, but...
Do we have any other housekeeping?
Housekeeping.
Oh, wait. Excuse me, knock, knock.
Yes.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb. Do disturb. Please disturb.
Hi,
that's why
Bridget.
I said we have one more thing to do.
It took me a minute to figure out what.
Come on. Please pick up what I'm putting down, baby.
Okay.
Behind those tired eyes. Yes, that you look closed. I get it. I see what's happening.
I was presenting a basket to pick up what you put down.
To me, it looks like you were closing your hands. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Bridget. Hi, everybody.
And welcome to Splat.
Splat, the podcast where
me
Brooke,
Bridget,
talk
Sex
about
in
Sex
City.
In the City.
Yikes.
This never gets
never.
Old. 10 years
for
younger.
For us, at least.
10 years
and
younger.
And 20 years later.
That's our show. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next week for more. We're tired and this is nothing. This episode is episode 14. Brooke needs toothpicks to prop her eyes open with right now.
I sleep so many hours.
It's an existential tired, you know.
I'm not drinking. I'm not smoking even.
Yeah.
I'm just tired.
It's its own drug.
Sleep. LA is really changing me.
You know what I have to say about that? That's icky.
Wow, Bridget, what a phenomenal segue.
Thanks.
That was.
I'm super smooth and good at this. This is an episode called The Ick Factor, and we are about...
Not to be confused with The X Factor or Fear Factor, both reality television
completely
shows.
Different TV shows that we were in grave risk of confusing with this episode. Brooke, shall we? 1, 2, 3, go.
Taxi, yells a man.
A solitary male on the streets of New York. He opens his mouth.
It's fall.
And he calls for a taxi. Jesus Christ. It is fall. It's autumn. Every New Yorker is worried that the next nice moment might be the last one for the year. Miranda and Steve are bundled up and sitting on a sidewalk. Still, even though it's autumn, they're sitting outside.
The trees are very red for how they're dressed. And an old bickering couple floats by doing what but bickering.
Complaining about, he was like, you said you'd meet me at the subway. And she said, I did. I was at the bottom of the stairs. And he said, you were in the subway, not at the subway. So Well, Steve is like, that's going to be us, Miranda.
And Miranda's like, it was us.
It's us now. That's all we do is bicker and be cute. And I don't want to be that in 30 years. And they start doing
and
this.
Like, what else?
Yeah.
Don't you want to be?
She says she doesn't want to be his mother. And he says,
and he's
good
like,
one. Meaning good. She doesn't want to turn into the literal woman who is Steve's mother.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clear.
I'm not sure that the way that we said it, because... We do talk about how he like wants her to mother him, you know?
Yeah, he has a mommy complex.
Right.
And so they're like, la 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 la. And then eventually Miranda's like, will you marry me? And Steve is like, ha 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 ha. Yes?
Are you serious? And she says yes. And then he says, hell yeah.
And Carrie says some couples have to say their I don'ts before they can say their I do's.
Because it was right there. And now we have romance. Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Speaking of.
The artist Alexander. Is
Petrovsky.
Playing the piano in his apartment for Carrie. And she, after it's finished, says, that was pretty. What was it? Which also pretty. Like, she's so.
And he's like.
For all her articulate.
He beckons her over. She's wearing like a see-through floor-length
nightgown, ball gown, night
ball gown, night sleepy ball gown.
Mm-hmm. That's coin it, make it a business right now.
I'm micro dabbing a lot right
yes.
now,
which sounds a lot cooler than it is. I can tell you. yep.
Drag me, just drag me.
Carrie asks what the song is, and he says it's a little something I wrote for you, and she's like, are you serious? And he says, yes, and what's more, here's its title in French. It means the woman with the luminous sparkling bright eyes. And so Carrie kisses him, and then at brunch there's this iconic scene,
but off, not after he like weirdly feeds her a berry, not great, and they kiss and it's awful,
and clearly Carrie is not super feeling it.
Cut to Miranda going ew, because Miranda is all of us.
Miranda is not into romance in this sense. She doesn't want it. She doesn't want it at all. And Samantha is
Charlotte.
Missing Smith because he's been away for a week, and she says it's sex, but they talk every night on the phone, and you know, that's pretty fucking cute.
And Charlotte's like, I love romance. And Carrie's like, wait. I didn't tell you what it's called. It's called, this is what it is in French. Pardon me. Ready? Here we go. It has a name. The ick heard around the world. La femme avec le... Nope, I can't. I'm not going to do this myself, luminant, actually.
I think.
There you go. Okay. We got there together.
So, which Miranda translates pretty effectively. And she says, I swear to you, while he was playing it, I floated up out of my body and I was looking down on myself thinking, come on. And Charlotte, of course, is staunchly in the like, it's just old fashioned and old world.
He's old fashioned and
but
Russian.
It's very romantic.
And Miranda's like, it's pure show. I can't stand all that. That's why I proposed to Steve over $3 beers.
Kat takes a bite and like, then looks up very casually. You propose
and everyone's like,
marriage? And Miranda says,
and they
okay,
all get
everybody
emotional.
Stop. It's not going to be a thing. I'm not doing the big circus wedding. There'll be no white dress or bridesmaids or posed pictures. I hate all of that shit. They're all just kind of open mouthed. And Charlotte's like, okay, that's your choice. Every bride has her own style. They ask when it'll be. Miranda says, as soon as I can find some place that doesn't make me want to hurl. It's going to be a simple nothing thing. I don't even care about the wedding. I just want to be with Steve.
Which is... very sweet. And everyone's like weepy eyed.
And she says
Miranda's
no
like,
tears.
Please stop that.
And then Carrie starts crying and she's like, no. And she looks over and Samantha tears up too. And Miranda gets up. She's like, I can't deal with this. And then she goes, Samantha, I expected more from you. And throws a tip on the table.
Throws money on the floor.
On the floor?
On the table.
Pick it up if you want it, waiter. So
Sex in the City really made Tasty Delight
popular.
Yeah,
I was going to say some intense product placement here. Charlotte is feeding some to Harry, who I was just thinking before I watched this, like, we haven't seen Harry in a couple episodes. But she is having, she says butter pecan, but it straight up is chocolate.
Well, it's a chocolate shell.
Oh, I see. So she feeds him a bite and is like, it almost tastes real. And he's like, yes.
And he's like,
real
that whipped air.
Manufactured air. But if it makes you happy, delicious. And
he's so
gooby and so perfect for her. She's going on about how romantic it is and the song that Alexander wrote. And Harry's like, hey, I can be romantic.
And she's like, yeah, you walk me to Tasty Delight every night. Great. Cool.
So bag people, Steve and Miranda, are walking down the street carrying a ton of huge bags. Look, in their Sunday finest, meaning sweats and...
Honestly, I would wear the shit out of that sweater that Miranda's
100%
wearing.
Same.
I love a turtleneck. That's something that if you didn't know about me...
real into them this fall.
And her bag breaks.
One of
and
the bags.
And what does she have
Dwayne
in there?
Reed
but like a hammer. They have Bed Bath & Beyond bags. They've got Dwayne Reed
They're
bags.
Doing
they
some
are
massive,
your...
you know, new. Well, they moved, right? They, or I am, maybe not. Did I make that up? Did they decide to move at the end of the last one? No, he was moving in. Maybe they're doing some projects. Anyway, they look. Speaking of projects, the community garden project is through the fence next to them.
And they're like, that's a nice garden. And they're like, yeah, pretty garden.
Not corny.
Pretty. And they're like, that's where we'll get married.
Because Miranda doesn't hate it. The only thing harder than choosing a spot to get married for your wedding when you hate weddings is choosing a wedding gift for your friends who hate weddings. Please continue with your what the fuck.
Carrie is wearing a scarf that looks like someone deferred a Neopet.
Yes, that was precisely what I was going to go for. And then crocheted it together. It's very bad. But Charlotte kind of freaks out because they're vetoing every single thing she suggests. And she's like, fine, maybe we'll just put nothing into a bag and then smear dog shit on it. Would that be low enough for Miranda's standards? And they're like, okay, we'll get a serving dish.
And Samantha looking fucking hot as ever.
She looks like she's like part of a bowling league with Rizzo from Greece.
Love Rizzo from Greece.
Always.
And Samantha's like, I have something to tell you. And Carrie's like, if you tell me that you're getting married, I will
kill you.
And Samantha's like, listen, I have beautiful ass, killer abs. My body is amazing, except my boobs are too small.
And she pulls out, an InTouch? Yeah, an InTouch magazine, because they'd been following Smith around because he's like the hot new thing. And she's in half the photos with him and she points out all the places where her boobs are. See, there my boobs are on Wednesday looking very small. And there my boobs are out to lunch and they're still looking very small.
Teeny tiny.
And she just, it's another thing for Samantha to fixate on. In the like physical sexual realm to fix things. And Charlotte is like, you're confident. You're intelligent. Why would you want to look like a bimbo?
Samantha's like, I wouldn't be asking for the watermelon freak show kind. I just want something.
Oh, no. There you are.
Tasteful. Like yours, Carrie. Which like, honestly, great boobs.
Great boobs. And Charlotte says, what about mine? And Samantha says, they're not bad either, and reaches out to grab them, and Charlotte's like dances away, and Carrie looks at her and goes no. Like Samantha, like before Samantha can even try. So Alexander has upped the ante and he is now reading her poetry.
I just like would throw up. I would leave.
I think it would make me really uncomfortable also if I didn't know the person. Like they don't know each other well enough. I don't mind the concept of poetry. Or, like, it's not my
thing
either,
like,
but I don't know. People have their love languages.
And I don't know if this is just because, like, he's my
friend's
like,
dad.
Our acquaintance's dad. But, like, he looks like such a dad.
He really does.
Like,
when
the
he puts the glasses
and the,
on.
And, like, the, like, relaxed, like, hoodie. He's just, like, so, like, dad. He's a dad.
It is a little bit like poem bedtime stories. So Carrie's like, can I read you my poem? And she picks up the Vogue she's been reading. Oscar de la Renta, sleeveless silk faille. I don't know how to say that word. Full skirted dress with black patent leather bow belt. And he laughs. He finds her very
like
charming,
looking at her.
Though, despite her.
She goes, that is pure poetry.
And he says, Oscar is a good friend of mine. I'll tell him you like the dress.
Because, of course.
She says, you call him Oscar? And he goes, that's his name, isn't it? Which truly is like, that is Carrie's kind of flirting, talking about first name basis with Oscar de la Renta.
And he's like, why does the poetry make you uncomfortable? And Carrie's like, I'm sorry. I just like, we're not properly introduced.
I'm a huge cynic and I write a column about love not really being real. Which
that romance is either dead or
which
phony.
I also was like, I didn't know that that was your thesis statement for your column. That's what you've been doing here this whole time? The romance is dead or phony? Apparently we haven't been properly introduced.
I mean, it has been 6 years since we started this podcast. Can you imagine you've been listening to this podcast for 6 years, you guys?
Feels like we've been doing it that long in some ways. What
we
is
haven't
time?
Even been friends for six
That's
years.
Kooky.
I haven't known you for 6 years.
That's not true. I've been out of college for 4 years.
I'm older than I think. Excuse me while I go get my cane from the closet.
Indeed, we were not friends until after college, but technically we've known each other for 8 years. Almost. Yup.
I'm going to shove this highlighter down my throat until I die.
Yeah, that sounds like a really nice way to go.
At least I will be a fluorescent when I die.
You'll glow, baby.
They can. The black light test will be so fun.
Oh, God. That's morbid.
Do they do that for dead people?
Not when it's obvious, like when you have a highlighter sticking out of your throat, probably.
No, no, no. They have to do a black light test on my dead body.
I'll let
body.
Them know.
I'll write a
no,
note.
No, just kidding. Like, I'm not outliving you.
Puffs on.
Yep. Cigar. Puffs on cigar. Carrie is on the phone complaining about this romantic intensity to Miranda, who is in a wedding dress shop trying to convince them that she doesn't want a wedding dress that's anything like what they think.
I think she's just in like a Nordstrom or a Bloomingdale's. But she's looking for like a red dress. It's
she
like,
doesn't want to wear white. Miranda. Anything virginal, she says. And Carrie is like, can I ask you a question while you're asking me questions? She's like, if you're so opposed to every single part of this, why are you having a wedding? Which I'm like, yeah, good friends. Ask the hard questions. Miranda's like, okay, I thought about it. And while I don't care about the whole thing, I do really want to say the vows to Steve out loud in front of the people I care about, which is like really sweet, and I'm glad she acknowledges it.
And as that's happening, a woman walks over with just like a big tulle thing, and Miranda goes, I'm sorry, I have to go. A pile of tutus is walking. She hangs up the phone. She goes to the saleswoman. I think we need to have another talk.
Carrie says, we accept tasty delight instead of ice cream, emails instead of love songs.
Emails instead of love songs, jokes instead of poetry.
It's no wonder, that when faced with the real thing,
we can't stomach
it. Is it something we could learn, or have we become romance intolerant?
Do we think that I am you know what? I am a vegan. I do not engage in romance.
yes. A romance vegan. I just do light fantasizing about intimacy and deep friendships.
Pause. I had a sex dream.
Tell me more.
About Cynthia Nixon.
You're fucking with me. We didn't lead with this. You didn't wake up and call me.
I forgot until just now, because never have I ever had like a female fantasy dream. I'm like, I identify very.
I'll take the shot, okay? Because now we're playing Never Have I Ever.
Take the shot. It was graphic and intense, and I don't know what it means.
I don't know that it has to mean anything.
But I was like, wow. As Bridget said that, her phone, just went sideways.
Yep, it just slid away.
Anyway, I just felt like I needed to share that
information. Yeah, it was pertinent and mandatory to share, so thank you.
Yeah, so if you guys have any like suggestions, if any of you happen to be like dream catchers or dream discerners, I don't know what one calls the things one hears these
days.
Yeah,
let us know when you reach out to Brooke to interpret her dream, please. Oh, dream interpreter. Just let us know what's on your business card, you know?
I think it's a dream interpreter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway.
A Trelawney.
Anyway.
Okay. And back on. Wait. Okay, paused again.
Speaking of Trelawney, good. I know this isn't a podcast about Harry Potter, but I'm listening to the audiobooks, as I'm sure I've mentioned.
Yeah, once
and I'm in book 4, and Rita Skeeter publishes that article about Hagrid and how
he's half giant.
You know, he's half giant, and the substitute Care for Magical Creatures teacher. Do you know her name off the top of your head?
No.
Well, it's Professor Grubbly Plank.
Yes, it sure fucking is.
And every time Jim Dale says Professor Grubbly Plank, I chortle, because it's the fucking goofiest thing I've ever heard, and it sounds like a cat from Cats. And I'm just like,
it absolutely does.
I just like can't get like so I imagine funny. Like J.K. Rowling being like Grubbly Plank, and I'm like, this is too silly,
too,
even for you, Joe, even for you.
Nothing's too silly for Joe at this point, unfortunately.
Anyway.
So.
Those are my two sidebars.
I appreciated them both. Filed away. Noted. The test will be aced. Thank you. So Harry is taking Charlotte out for a very romantic date at a very nice French dinner. She's got swoopy bangs going on, a new look for Charlotte. Downtown, in the name of boob job research, we have a really uncomfortable scene that I'm honestly just going to skip through because all you need to know is Samantha's gone somewhere where there are women with lots of boob implants and men ogling them and talking about which one of them is their, you know, is, he's like, that one's my wife. She's not.
And Samantha's like checking them out. It's a very funny scene for Samantha. The way that she acts.
And then she, the bartender is this beautiful woman who, as she's shaking the mixer, her also Samantha very nice titties boobs. Shake. And Samantha's like,
imagine the audition for this.
Which also, those boobs do look natural. And Samantha says, I'm so sorry. Either you have the most naturally beautiful breasts I've ever seen, or you have an incredible doctor. And the woman's like, yeah, go see this doctor. So there she goes.
I just want to give a shout. Oh, no, I lost her. Never mind. Ugh. Forget it.
I've already forgotten. What? Whom?
Okay. So Carrie shows up at Petrovsky. They have such kissy chemistry.
I know. I love the chemistry. She also looks like a little girl going for a walk in the forest. So.
And she's like, he's in a tux. And she's like, oh, is this a formal sleepover? And he's like, we're going to La Traviata.
And then she's like, well, I didn't dress for it. And he brings her over to a box. And it is the dress that she was dying over in the magazine. Which is also like, look, he can adapt to your love language and, you know, poetry and romance. Like, just give him a little room to breathe.
It is. Stunning. And she's like, does that Carrie squeal?
Where she's so happy. So Charlotte and Harry are in bed getting it on after their romantic night, and his stomach starts growling, and he's like, that was weird.
Which can only mean one
thing. And they googly giggly at each other, which is because it's like, aha, Harry. And then it happens again, a decadent seven course, and he goes, I'm sorry, honey. And then he runs to the bathroom, and then Charlotte follows. Because, of course,
food poisoning.
When you shell out for the best, you're only going to be disappointed.
Yes, Bridget. That's how that goes, right? That is the moral of the story. Mm-hmm. Well, she's like, how long are you going to be in there? And so she goes to one of their other three bathrooms.
God, can't fathom. Incredible. That's okay. I'll go to the other one. When you've splurged on a romantic.
When you splurge on a big meal, you generally want to remember every bite. I'm sorry, I lost it.
The soup and all the yummy courses in between. And then, but she's basically saying, nope, you remember it for all the wrong reasons.
They're shooting out of them every 20 minutes.
For the rest of the night. Charlotte goes running and Harry goes, I wouldn't go in there. And she goes, if I were you, she goes, I can't make it to the other one. He says, it was the fucking fromage. And then he goes, uh-oh, look out. I'm coming in.
Which is like gross. Yep. And then they're lying on the floor of the bathroom together. Very Grey's Anatomy. Yep.
Yes, indeed. May not have been very romantic, but it was the stuff of lasting love.
Look at how tiny Sarah Jessica Parker's waist
is. It's the teensiest.
I mean, this dress is stunning.
It really is. It's architecturally quite something.
I would love this dress. I would wear this dress.
Yes.
And that little bolero jacket.
I know.
And he asks her to dance with him in front of the Lincoln Center fountain. And I just like groaned.
I don't know that I would hate this. I mean, I would be self-conscious for sure. But she's so very resistant to all of it. And she literally steps forward to do it finally and passes out in his arms.
And this is another iconic scene.
He says, are you okay? Oh, are you okay? Hey.
She goes.
And he says.
It's too much.
I'm an American, which I was like, yeah, that's the one of the ick factors of this for me. Like, really?
You got to take it down a notch. Do we think that she faked fainted or that was a real faint?
I think she really fainted. That seems a little low even for Carrie. So they go and get McDonald's, and she asks if he can handle it, and he says, absolutely. And she apologizes for the opera, and he is immediately like, don't be silly. Another time, another dress. He really is quite good at responding to what she's giving him.
And he's like, do you want a fry? They're French. Can I also tell you that I have wanted McDonald's French fries for like a week, and I just like haven't gotten them because they're bad for you.
I mean, good for you. Look at you, that willpower. Carrie leans forward and eats the other half of the fry that she feeds him out of his mouth, and the woman comes back to complete their order and puts the burgers down and gives them the best face that I would also do if this was happening in front of me. And then they dance there in McDonald's in front of the counter, which honestly for me would be 100% worse.
Beneath the fluorescent moonlight, I was finally laughing with romance and not at it. Ugh.
Boy, oh boy. How, I mean, imagine, ugh, yeah, anyway.
I mean, like, I feel bad for our beloved listeners because there's not really much to talk about on this episode yet.
Well, here we go. So Samantha's got her titties out again.
At the doctor.
And the doctor feels her breasts and she's telling him she has an event in 2 months that she'd like to have a little cleavage for. And
with no tact, none. This guy's like, excuse me, you have a lump on your breast.
I'd like you to get it checked out before you get the operation. And she's like, what? And he says, yeah, you can feel it right here. And she asks him if it's serious.
It's probably just a cyst, but I'd like you to have it looked at as soon as possible. And like sometimes it is just like a stress cyst. I've had one of those where my gynecologist was like, you have what feels like a lump. And then like the next time I saw her, our gynecologist.
Oh, God, I love
me.
Her. Indeed. I'm probably going to go see her soon. Get that sweet, sweet IUD, baby. Following in your footsteps always. Samantha picks Carrie up for the wedding, and the little continuity thing on the side, I thought this was funny. She talks about how she had to go. Carrie's like, why did you pick me up? You went 100 blocks out of your way. And Samantha's like, it doesn't matter. I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it flashes to the front of the cab and the fare says $3.80. You're like, what? What kind of rate you getting for those 100 blocks? That could not have been a more derisive laugh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I presumably maybe she took two cabs.
Sure.
Or she paid for one cab and paid for, and now this is the start of the cab only from Carrie's.
Sure. Love it.
I'm giving them the benefit
like
of the doubt.
I like that about this for you.
Thanks, Bridgie.
So Samantha's basically like, I don't want to ruin Miranda's day, so I'm telling you, and I don't want you to tell anyone else. I have a lump in my breast, and I went to the doctor, and it turns out it is cancer. And, that's everything you need to know. She says, I found out. I went to the doctor Wednesday. I found out yesterday. That's all you need to know. Do you like my skunk? Because she is wearing a skunk.
I know. She's wearing a skunk. She like pets it and is like, do you like my skunk? And Carrie's like, thank you for telling me. And Samantha's like, I'm going to be fine. I know that. It's just, I don't want to lose my breasts. They're fabulous.
Which is a very real thing, and especially real and potent for Samantha. And I think is like, probably an easier thing to worry about than like the bigger cancer picture and all the scariness that comes with that. Mm-hmm. Easier. Nothing is easy about that. She seems to have a genuinely good attitude about it though. And Carrie is really sweet. Oh, and the wedding. Oh my God. It's so cute.
It's just a little blip really in the episode.
It's perfect.
And they love each other, and we see them.
We see them exchange
vows. And Brady
vows.
Has maybe gotten younger now.
Unclear. Charlotte's holding him, of course. And
Carrie and Samantha are holding hands.
It's really sweet. When they say in sickness and in health, Carrie grabs her hand, and Samantha takes a deep breath and gets a little teary, but smiles really genuinely because she's a beautiful and amazing actress with lots of feelings and emotional depth.
Magda standing with Steve's mom because remember Miranda's mom has passed.
Yeah, it's really sweet that Magda's there. By the power vested in me by the state of New York, I now pronounce you husband and wife. Also, Miranda ended up wearing this like pretty velvety red thing.
Magda.
It's so sweet. Magda is clapping and cheering.
She's like, come on, everybody. It's happy time. Happy, happy, happy
it's
time.
It's so cute.
It's like so sweet.
It's perfect, and it is a lovely little location, and importantly, Miranda and Steve look so happy. One wedding ritual Miranda never had a problem with was the part where everyone eats. They're just at a bar.
Honestly?
It looks delicious. I mean, at a restaurant.
And Charlotte says something to Samantha, and Samantha just goes, thanks, I have cancer.
And then the waiter comes over, and she orders, and Charlotte's face. It's so very Samantha. And I can't imagine I mean, I think I would react the same way if I was Charlotte.
It's like very much like what my brother did.
So Steve's mom seeks her out, and she seeks out Miranda, and she starts in on this. She's like, listen, I have to tell you, I'm so glad you didn't wear white, because when I got married, I did wear white. When I walked down that aisle at St. Agnes, I had a white dress on the outside. And then she takes
and my
a
little
heaving,
Jackie on the inside.
Breath. Miranda's smiling very thinly through her teeth. It's so funny. And she sees,
and she
glances over her shoulder and sees the serious conversation among her friends happening behind her. And she's,
and she just goes, Steve? And Steve retrieves his mom.
He goes, yeah, Ma. Still hungry? He grabs her. So Miranda comes over, interrupts, cheers them. They all say congratulations, but it's a little tense. And she says, wait, why are we all being weird? And they're like, we're not like, being weird. Fake smile, big deep breath.
What are you talking about? Me, right? And they're like, she's like, you think I'm an asshole?
And they're like, what?
And they're like, what? No.
What are you talking about? And she, which also, I don't think I track what's happening there in Miranda's brain. And she's like, okay, then you have to tell me what. And Samantha says, I don't want to, it's your day and I don't want to ruin it, you know? And Miranda's like, if you don't tell me, it's going to ruin it anyway. So Samantha takes a deep breath and tells her she has breast
she
cancer.
She says, see, now it's my special fucking day.
And Miranda says, you have breast cancer? And Samantha says back to her, just like Miranda did a few days before, hey, no tears. And then she says, Charlotte says, go back to your people. We'll talk about this later.
Well, Samantha says back to her, she goes, Miranda, I expected more from you.
Yes, yes. Because Miranda, of course, has teared up. And after Charlotte says, go talk to your people, Miranda says, you are my people and we're talking now. And she convinces them, of course. And Samantha starts in on the story.
And they do the Gilmore Girls
fade out from the table. And Carrie says in voiceover, for better or for worse, Miranda got what she wanted. They were totally themselves that day. So there is some heavy shit in this episode.
It's the beginning of Samantha's one and only
arc. I mean, goddamn, the countdown was really heavily on, but she
life
the
or
last
death.
Two episodes have packed more Samantha plot in than basically the previous five seasons.
Six seasons. Yeah. Five seasons. Five and a half.
With the exception of Richard, I suppose.
Fuck Richard.
Fuck Dick. So, who did you relate to?
I related to, I think Carrie. I think like I would be in the same place. I'm just like, we for all the talk I am for about how much I'm like dying to be in love, which I am. And uh-huh. If you're interested, please give me a
Fill
call.
Fill out the application.
it is not a lengthy one. But I think if someone were too nice to me, I would be like, yuck.
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean, I stopped seeing someone because they were like too into me for how little we knew each other, you know, and for how where I was at. It can be off-putting.
I did that too. Well, I've done that before too. I regret it. Like, not really. Mm-hmm. But I also like, I feel like Alex handled his cancer moment in a similar way to Samantha.
Yeah.
I feel like he was just like very like, this is like very crass about how he told people. And everyone just like didn't know how to respond.
Yeah.
Not that that's how I resonated, but I think if I were in a similar situation, like I imagine based on like how I handle things, that I would also be like a very like, not like shock, like invoking, but I think I would be casual. The way I tell people would be casual enough that it would be disarming to those people.
I think I probably would too. I mean, not that I can actually fully put myself in those shoes, but I can't imagine, like there is no good way to do it really. I mean, yeah. I guess you could say like, I just want to start by saying I'm okay, but like that wouldn't really be my, and you're not okay. Like, why would you say that? You know, it's a real, it's an impossible thing. So I feel like just putting it fucking out there.
Yeah. But it's a tough, it's tough.
Oh man, yeah. It's got to be so. And also, besides her friends, Samantha's support system is out of town. I wonder if she's told Smith Jared or not. And also, I think he would be very upset if she had, and she probably hasn't. That's my hypothesis. Because he's away filming, right? Mm-hmm. Bo, 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 bo.
What about you?
I related to... Carrie, definitely a little bit. In the... Those would not be... Those things would make me feel uncomfortable in certain circumstances as part of being wooed, you know?
Yeah.
But also, like, that feeling a little bit then when she indulges and kind of, like, allows herself to be wooed when they've met in the middle a little more, that feeling. And a little bit of Miranda, definitely, and just wanting to just do things your way and your small way that feels good in the face of expectations otherwise. There are, like, lots of different times that's come up in my life, I feel like. Not that I have had too many marriages, so I don't mean that, but, you know?
Yeah. Ploppability?
Very much.
Yeah. I'd agree.
I think pretty much all of it.
Yeah.
Right? I think this must have been... This feels really significant, too, to have this plot talked about and on TV 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know. I'm sorry we, like, sped through it. There was just, like, not a lot of, like...
I don't know that we, like, sped... I mean, I think we just have editorialized less before and after. But I don't think we sped too much.
No, but I mean, like, I feel like we didn't... I don't feel like there was, like, a real moment where we would pause and, like, talk about
Oh, yeah. I mean, Carrie's... What was her... are we...
Romance intolerant. Right. Which, like, sure... I hate watching other people experience PDA, and I am, like, frugal with my PDA in a way that I don't think that Carrie is.
Yeah. I do think there's something to be said that, like, there is a particular brand of New York cynicism about it, and where really intense couples you see on the street can sometimes feel just, like, extra aggressive or extra... you know, misplaced on the mean trash spewn streets of New York.
Yeah.
Interrupting my fast-paced walk. My headphones jammed in. Like, it just, you know?
Yeah. I do. I do know. I think that's the episode, though, right?
I think it is, which means officially...
Delta ups, Delta downs. We're in Brooke and Bridget time.
Yeah, but also officially six left, baby.
Oh my God, a toddler. No, a toddler. A small child.
Yeah, not a toddler.
Maybe Brady will be six by the end of
a first grader. Oh my God, probably. With the way that time has always worked on this show. Except no.
Oh my God, so much happens in the next six episodes. I can't even believe.
I know.
I'm excited for you to experience a couple of these plots.
Splat is soon.
I think it's in two episodes.
I think it's episode 18.
It is episode 18. Okay, we've got three episodes. We've got
15, 16, 17. Dang.
Oh my God, just looking ahead, some very, very exciting things happen. Ugh,
I'm so excited.
Oh, yes. Splat is technically the penultimate episode because the final two are is a two-parter.
Right.
Do you want to hit me with your D's and D's?
I want to hit you with all the D's, baby. Okay.
Just D-slap me across the face.
Yeah. So, my Delta down is... I've just been running at, like, top speed at work for about 10 days, which is... It got to the point today where I could slow down a little bit, and it was gratifying to be like look at how much I'd accomplished in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. I also just came to this point where I was like, woo, A, I'm not paid enough to run quite at this speed. And B, I am not really fully equipped to be doing things at this level like this, you know, all the time. So, but there were some extenuating circumstances, and it'll go back to normal or more normal, and I do like the steps up in a lot of ways. It just brings a lot of additional stress. And it turns out when things go really well at work, it's great to bring that home with me. And unfortunately, I do the same things when even minor things are shitty at work or when I've made mistakes. Yeah. So that's something I'm working on. Delta up. My delta up is that I had a really, really nice time last night. And I love my friend Michael very much, and was just, as I was walking home through Times Square, thinking about, and I do not mean this to be pointed, just how like lucky and happy I do feel to live here and know the people that I know and have like the opportunity to do really cool things sometimes.
Why would that be pointed? Because I'm in LA.
Because you, not to be like, you know, it's the most amazing place, and I don't really understand why anyone would ever leave, but.
No, but you're allowed to feel that way.
Well, it's also nice because I do complain about it a lot, and I do stand by all of those complaints anyway, as the experiences I've had on the train system in the last week can back me up. But I also – oh, yeah, I've also been working on, like, being pointedly working on gratitude for things. So, you know?
Yes.
Leaning in.
Love that. Love that. Namaste.
You, my dear.
My delta down is that the tiredness I feel behind my eyes. And I have been anxious today. Just like, it's been a month and a week and a half. So a month and a half almost since I've had therapy.
Oh, uh-huh.
And have you
given good old Liz a call yet?
Oh my God. I got a text from her the other day that was like, figured out the Venmo. Ugh. And I was like, Liz just said ugh.
Wow.
And it was very exciting because she had sent me this like kind of like terse email that was like about payment, mm-hmm. but I like defo Venmo'd her, but she texted me and it was fine. Good. And then she was like, also, how are you? And I was like, Liz, do you miss me? but I emailed her today to try to figure something out so I can chat with her. Cause
that'll
I think
be great.
I'm just like, I have moments where I'm just like anxious. My delta up is that I feel like I've been like really good about pursuing acting in a way that I have been like afraid of not doing. Like I spend like a good amount of time every day submitting myself for things. I went on an audition today for like a student film that I like procured myself, because like it's pilot season and it's tough to like meet new people during like new casting directors during pilot season because they're very laser focused. So I'm like, how can I like continue to feel productive in that
way? Good for you. That's exciting.
And Ari sent a like very rough draft of the first part of Jesse and my film thing. And that is just like very exciting.
Totally.
To see.
The fruits of your labor.
The fruits of my labor. And I'm just very excited. I have like a lot of friends visiting in the next month. Like March is like my friend Marina's coming, and then Jesse's coming, and then Kyle's coming, and then you're coming.
Wow. That's incredible.
I'm like, I didn't even have to I'm just like very, very excited about that.
Yeah. That's incredible. Little doses of home.
And I'm just like, I'm starting to feel more settled at Core Power and like getting to know some of the people and like seeing people more consistently. And like, I'm just like, I'm landing a little bit. And like, of course, it's like taken, you know, a month and a half.
I mean, that's a pretty small amount of time, honestly. I'm very glad for it, but.
Yeah. But I'm just like,
I
like
to
it here.
Good. Hell yeah, you do. I'm so happy to hear that.
Which is good. It's good. So we'll see. But I'm still very like, it's like, I can't believe I'm existing without the people that I love.
Yeah. Well, you're not, but you are, but you're not.
But I am.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things.
You know, I am and I'm not. And I'm not. but yeah. I am.
Can I find you on social media?
No.
Cool. Me either. Bye, everyone.
Yeah, no, you. Bye. No, you can find me on Twitter at Brooke. Oh, wait. Really quickly, I need to tell this LA story.
Oh, it doesn't even have to be quick. So slow it down.
I was going to talk about this because I haven't told you about this either, but I tweeted about it. So yesterday I had lunch with my friend Jen, and it was like our first friend date. We went to this restaurant called John and Vinny's, which is like very, very good pasta, obviously. And this woman and this man come and sit next to us, and they are like stereotypical LA. Like, he is like a white dude and she is like rail thin, and she orders a fucking broccolini and a salad. And I'm like,
sure.
Nightmare people. And I hear her be like, how's your girlfriend? And he's like, not so good, actually. And she's like, oh no, what's going on? And I'm like,
I'm so excited to hear where this goes.
And I'm trying to engage with Jen, but I'm also like, I want to know what's happening next to me too. But Jen, I realized after, couldn't hear them because the music was loud. But I was like afraid I was being rude. But I was just like, I was like, this is a superpower. I was engaging in two conversations at once. And he's like, you know, just like check back in with me in like a week and I'll be able to tell you more about it. I was like, she was like, sort of asked more questions I couldn't hear. And he was like, well, you're an investigative journalist, like blah, blah, blah. And then so loudly, he goes, yeah, my girlfriend told me she's a prostitute. Welcome to LA. And I was like, So then he proceeds to tell his friend.
I'm just open-mouthed.
About how she was saying she was visiting her mom in Brazil, but the times that they were talking didn't make sense. And he like followed her to this guy's apartment and like found like tickets and was like talked and is like wants to confront this guy. Just like it like couldn't be real. It like I was like, this is fucking insane.
Only in LA, and, like, is there live entertainment at every restaurant.
I just, like, couldn't believe it. And he just, like, went on and on about how he found out his girlfriend is a prostitute.
Wow.
And he's, like, crushed by it because he, like, also has never had a connection like this with anyone
before. Oh, boy.
And I felt so bad for this sweet little man. But also, I found the sound of his voice grating.
Oh, boy.
And that's... Mm-mm. Anyway, so for tweets like that and more, come find me at Brooke_Wiseman. And you can find me on Instagram... at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. And if you don't put the underscore, I'll turn your girlfriend into a prostitute.
You mean if you put the underscore? You'll turn her into a prostitute. I love that threat. Lots of different ways you could go about that. Well, me, little old me, just over on Twitter. Whoop! And falling sideways. I'm on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin. And I am also on Instagram at Brooke Wiseman, no underscore. I'm just kidding. At BridgetM37. But probably go look
that
at Brooke's
because
it's better anyway. And she...
I haven't been posting as much, but I have been rampant on Snapchat.
Oh, God. I'm missing it. I need to make sure I am up on the snaps. I know. You've taken it and run. I'm so, so thrilled.
No.
And collectively, we are at... Splat Podcast
on Twitter and Instagram and at gmail.com.
Also, thank you. Please. We got a bunch of messages after last week's episode from people about various things and really sweet, saying sweet things. It was the best.
Oh.
Go into our Instagram DMs. I always wait like 3 hours because I assume you want to see them too and then reply.
Oh, wait, I'm going to go in now. I didn't see any of them.
Okay. Well, you're in for a treat.
Oh, yay. Find us on Twitter or Gmail or Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe. Oh, how many Darren stars do you give this episode?
Oh,
we always
boy.
Forget.
I also, when I was listening back on last week's episode, I don't know why I almost ranked it a 10. Out of all of the recent episodes we watched, it was not a favorite. I did like parts of it, but
I give this 6 out of 10 Darren stars.
Wow. Can you tell me why so low?
I just didn't love it.
Fair. I like that. Go with gut. I'm going to give it.
It deserves to be above 5 because of the wedding. But like, I feel like the Charlotte plot and the way they handle Samantha and the Carrie ickiness.
Yeah.
I'm like.
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
Great.
And.
One more time.
What? Tell me what.
You always freeze in like the silliest way, like at the end. And only for like the last 2 minutes.
Oh, how enjoyable for you.
But. We love you guys.
We do. And we love this show. And that's that on that.
And namaste. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.